start the meeting. We can't officially call it to order, so we see one more committee member enter the room. So the first item that we'll move forward with is MnDOT capital budget overview of changes from last year. As I said at our first meeting, given that all but Representative Abrams were on this committee before, we're not going to spend a lot of time with remedial presentations, so this will add on what we already learned last year. And you all have in front of you the transportation budget book. Mr. Ness, our page, worked diligently over the last week to put this information together. We will, in the next 2 to 3 weeks, be going over different agency budgets. So if you choose to take this with you, you will want to bring it back at the next meeting, because we will be using them for reference as we work through the agency presentations. And Mr. Gray, are you ready?
Looks like it should go. Oh, yeah. No, that's good.
Mr. Gray, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Hello, I'm Kevin Gray, Chief Financial Officer for MnDOT, and I was asked to actually cover several things today, the first of which is the capital budget overview. And my understanding is that you just wanted a kind of a step through of the governor's recommendation from 2004 and what it is in 2005 and some key differences there. I think many of you will be familiar with the projects, and we have other folks who can talk specifically to some of the items if needed. But I'll walk through the capital budget as it stands today in the governor's recommendation.
All right, thank you. And just for members' reference, there is a document in your folder that has a comparison of the two recommendations.
Yes, and I'll go through in that order of the document that you have in your files. The first item is that actually a department of administration request that comes to this committee because it is using trunk highway bonds to finance the project. This is essentially a fairly serious safety issue that has been building over the past several years. The governor's budget in 2004 recommended $3.3 million approximately. The concept a year ago was to phase in part of the project and come back next year for the balance of the request of approximately $6 million. So while that looks like a $6 million jump, the reality is the total project cost was, I'm going to say, $8.9 million, and the inflation brought it up to $9.3 million. We just don't have the luxury of staging the project right now. In fact, we are putting cribbing around the exterior of the building, not because we think there's an imminent safety danger, we'd have to do something more drastic, but as a precautionary move and to ensure that there isn't any debris that falls. So at this point in time, this is for the full project of $9.3 million. The second two items are both local road requests, the local bridge replacement and the local road improvement grants. I believe somebody from a state aid group has covered these projects with this committee. Is that correct?
Yes, that is.
Okay. So, again, this is the governor's recommendation stays the same for the local bridge replacement funds and for the local road improvement grants. With respect to the small capital projects, the request from MnDOT and which the governor endorsed last year was for $3.8 million to be funded from Trunk Highway Fund cash. Historically, we have funded these quote-unquote small capital projects, and these are building replacements, cold and warm storage additions in sheds and the like, and they typically fall in the range of under $1 million. Given the fact that we have such a vast number of buildings, we've typically had a separate issue here with small capital projects, a separate change request that has ultimately gone into the capital budget and or the operating budget over the past four bienniums. It's kind of flip-flopped around. In any event, the request is for the same amount plus the inflation adjustment that the governor endorsed, but we made the call to leverage our cash balances more aggressively to bond these projects. They are bond eligible, and in the classic model of bonding for buildings and the like, makes sense to bond. So that is a bit of a departure from the governor's request in that it was a cash appropriation last year, and now we're recognizing this as bonding. The next item on your list is North Star Commuter Rail. Bob McFarland and Mike Schadauer and others will talk to that following this, so I'll leave it at that, other than to say that the request is at the same level as last year. The major capital request from a MnDOT trunk highway perspective is the Mankato headquarters. And there was quite a bit of testimony last year, and we're certainly willing to talk about this project at greater length if so desired. But the project cost is $15.3 million. Inflation adjusted is $16.6 million. So the increase there is strictly the impacts of missing a year of opportunity to build the project. And so on that note, if there's any issues, I'm going to take them. The only other two items that are on your list, one is an analog digital conversion project. Quite frankly, this project is a must-do for MnDOT. It's about our communications backbone, the walkie-talkie system, the mobile radio system, and how we manage and inspect and oversee contracts and construction projects, as well as, of course, your maintenance arena. It became so critical that we have worked to find ways to fund this through our operating budget and make some shifts in that, and we'll be building out our communications backbone over the next 3 years to ensure that we have a communication system that's working. Part of the reason for not going forward, quite candidly, is it often got confused with the 800 megahertz project, too, and I think it's just easier if we can shift some priorities and handle this internally. We did not propose it to the governor this year, and therefore the recommendation is the zero. The final item on your list is a Met Council BRT request for Cedar Avenue. That remains at the same level, and I'm sure the folks from Met Council here, if you want any specific comments on that. I would add that in talking with Becky briefly before the meeting, I had a separate list, and we did have Holman Field here, and while that's not directly a trunk highway funded project, it has some transportation and airport significance and other issues, and that was in 04. I don't believe that was in the governor's recommendation, but there's $2 million that would go to the city of St. Paul to towards the construction of a dike at Holman Field, and that is part of the governor's request too. That's not on this particular page.
All right, thank you. Now that we have a quorum, I'll officially call the meeting to order. Representative Larson moves approval of the minutes from January 25th. Are there any additions or corrections? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Any questions for Mr. Gray? Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You probably said this, I missed the first item, 5959 in the Transportation Exchange.
Representative Earhart, if you could put your microphone closer to you, other people might be able to hear your question.
Is the, Madam Chair, the increase in the difference in the 5959 for the exterior of the Department of Transportation, is that all, is it some new problems been discovered? Or is that inflationary? That's a pretty steep bump.
Mr. Gray.
Madam Chair, Representative Earhart, only a small part of that is inflation factor. The total cost of the project is $8.8 million approximately. Last year, we had worked with the Department of Administration and some of the architects and consultants, and we determined that we could do a portion of the building initially and then the balance in the upcoming biennium with the next capital request. Given that the construction season, we missed the season, the governor proposes that we just do the entire project because we don't have the luxury of staging it from a safety perspective at this point in time. So in actuality, the total project was going to be $3.3 million last year and then another $5 million request next year, if you will. And now, given the time frame, we deemed it appropriate to request the entire balance. So I would say about $400,000 approximately of that number is indeed inflation. The balance is just reflects the actual cost of the project.
Thank you.
Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question is of you, particularly on this portion of the presentation, as to process. This committee will be recommending on Thursday to capital investment, and the assumption is, because these have been before us before, we don't need to hear anything, we don't need to have language in front of us relative to bills. Is that my understanding?
Well, I'm sorry that you missed the beginning of the meeting again, that we're not redoing things that this committee has heard before. The presentations today are changes from last year in the governor's recommendation. At the end of the meeting, we will put forward those projects that are being considered by both the governor, the Senate, and the House in their bill last year, and ask for any additions from this committee to that list for consideration on Thursday. Mr. Gray, if I might, the Senate bonding bill contains no bonding out of the Trunk Highway Fund. Does the administration have any position on whether that needs to be done now or as it's usually done at the end of the year? Or?
Madam Chair, I'm not aware of the position at this point in time. You are correct, though, that the Senate at this point in time is looking at this as being a transportation finance committee issue as opposed to a capital committee issue. And I think that the key here is that from personal perspective, at least, that it is in the bonding bill and that it gets heard out somewhere, if nothing else, in the conference committee. But I would have to go back to probably talk with Betsy Parker or the governor's office regarding an official position on that.
All right. Some feedback on that issue in the next 24 hours would be appreciated. Thank you. Any additional questions for Mr. Gray? All right, thank you. The next item that we'll consider are the North Star Project budgetary changes. We have Mr. Diaz from Met Council, Mr. McFarland from MnDOT, and Mr. Schaudauer, I'm sorry, who is from MnDOT as well. My understanding is, Mr. McFarland, you want to go first today.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, good afternoon and thank you. I'm just going to briefly discuss the governor's proposal for North Star and some of the activities that have gone on since the end of the last legislative session. Mr. Diaz will talk briefly about the Met Council's role in those activities of the post-2004 session. Again, for the record, my name is Bob McFarland. I'm assistant to the commissioner at DOT for Policy and Public Affairs. For North Star this year, Madam Chair, the governor's bonding recommendation is identical to the proposal that he made in 2004. The governor is proposing $37.5 million in state general obligation bonding as part of the state's capital commitment to the North Star project. This $37.5 million in state commitment is needed, and is needed in full, to secure federal approval and federal funding for North Star final design activities. That's the next stage of the project. The state share will be matched by an equal amount of commitment from the local counties in that area through the North Star Corridor Development Authority, and those two commitments combined are sufficient to secure the federal approval and funding that the project needs for its final design. There are a couple of key elements of the governor's North Star proposal that touch on in review. Again, $37.5 million in general obligation bonding. The governor's proposal includes a cap of $10 million of that $37.5. Only $10 million of the $37.5 would be available for the final design activities. That's one of the nuances of the federal process. You need the federal funding, or you need the state funding up front, but you don't necessarily need to spend all of the state funding on final design activities. They want to see the commitment. The governor has proposed for this project capital cost responsibilities of 50% federal government, 33% state government, and 16.7% of local government capital commitment to the project. The project is estimated at $265 million. That would mean we are anticipating $132.5 million in federal funds, $88.3 million in total state capital funding commitment, and $44.2 million in local government commitment. For operating costs, the governor has proposed that of any non-federal or non-fare covered operating costs, that those costs be shared equally, 50% state, 50% local units of government, that in that North Star Line corridor. I just want to stress that early action on the $37.5 million in state commitment is becoming very critical as competition for the federal transit dollars and the New START dollars is becoming stiffer and stiffer as each day and week goes on. North Star has been deemed viable and worthy as a commuter rail project under federal assessment criteria. This project has been run through very extensive federal review. There has been progress on North Star since the end of the 2004 legislative session. In August, the governor unveiled a plan to make $22.5 million available for the time-critical North Star activities to keep the project moving forward. He proposed $2.5 million in Metropolitan Council funds from interest earnings on debt levies, $10 million and came in a commitment from the North Star Corridor Development Authority, that's those local funds, which helped leverage $10 million in federal funds that were available for the project awaiting match. This $22.5 million has allowed certain engineering and design activities to move forward on the project to keep the project on schedule for its previously established 2008 opening. By maintaining these activities that have been allowed by the federal government, you can save on average $11 to $13 million annually in inflation against the project. So by keeping it going, we've helped save money. The state was also at risk of losing the federal funds that were awaiting the match funds and could have gone back into the pool. The action that the governor took in August does not, however, preclude the need for the $37.5 million that the governor has proposed. It's absolutely necessary. A couple other things in terms of progress. MnDOT and the North Star Corridor Development Authority have entered into a memorandum of understanding guiding our partnership in the development and the design and engineering activities around North Star. We have also partnered with the NCDA, the Metropolitan Council and the Federal Transit Administration in putting together a new organizational structure for guiding the North Star project. The partnership between all of the entities working on North Star is very cooperative and very strong at this point, and we're moving forward in a very cooperative manner. With that, Madam Chair, I think I'll turn it over or open up to questions.
If I might, Representative Anderson, did you have a question, Mr. McFarland, or do you think the presentation was concluded?
Is Natural going to talk about the same subject?
He is.
Okay, just wait till.
Representative Hornstein?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and Mr. McFarland. I share your concern about the need to move expeditiously on this. I wondered, does the federal government have any specific fixed deadlines by which we need to act on this, or is it just your concern is that there's other metropolitan areas and other projects that are just going to move ahead unless we act? Is there any date that's set that by which we need to?
Madam Chair, Representative Hornstein, I was just checking with staff. There's no hard date that I can give you, except that it is in a competitive environment. The dollars available for new starts are very limited. We have been given every indication by the Federal Transit Administration that this is the year for North Star. It has been out there a long time. Quite frankly, the FTA has been patient and helpful with the project, has helped us keep it moving forward with the urging, the direct personal involvement and urging of the governor. But this is the year.
Thank you.
Mr. Diaz. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On the annual operating costs that are listed here in the room of bullets, number point number three, how are you going to determine, I assume that those are county property taxes to pay the 50% local. How are you going to apportion that between, if that be correct, how are you going to apportion that between the counties?
Mr. McFarland.
Madam Chair, Representative Earhart, if a representative of the North Star Corridor Development Authority is here, I think that they would be better able to answer that question.
Is that already in law? Madam Chair, is that already in law?
Mr. McFarland.
No, it is not. Madam Chair, Representative Earhart, no, it's not. It's the governor's proposal.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record, please.
My name is Mary Richardson, and I'm part of the project management team of the North Star Corridor Development Authority.
And if I might, who do you work for? You said project management team.
My employer is Richardson, Richter & Associates, and I have a contract with the North Star Corridor Development Authority.
All right, thank you.
And the revenues that have been discussed to date are the property tax levies of the county regional railroad authorities and not the counties themselves. And the allocation that has been agreed upon to date is based on the population living within 5 miles of the rail corridor or bounded by the river. And that has been the way that the capital commitment has been allocated. There has not yet been discussions on whether that allocation would be sustained through operations.
Madam Chair, regional railroad authorities have the right to levy upon their citizens in their counties that they represent. So it is really county levies, no matter how you want to look at it. It's going against the property taxes, and that's about the only thing they have to levy against, as far as I can see. And while I'm asking that question, before we get to this place, and maybe this is the wrong one, if there are more people in Hennepin County within 5 miles of whatever your baseline is here, does that mean that Hennepin County is going to bear the brunt of this? I think that maybe we can do this at a future time. I don't know when, but I'd certainly like to hear more about that.
Well, thank you, Representative Earhart, and thank you, Mr. Judson. Mr. Diaz, I think we're ready for you at this point.
Madam Chair, members of the committees, my name is Nacho Diaz. I'm pleased to announce that my voice is a little better than the last time I was testifying here, so it will be not as hard on your ears, hopefully. And I'll try to keep it short so it doesn't get worse. I believe that your interest was for us to address the issue of the $2.5 million that Mr. McFarland has referred to. And as a matter of fact, I think Mr. McFarland has somewhat given you essentially the two big questions, which is, what is the money for and where does it come from? With respect to what is the money for, I think Mr. McFarland made it very clear, but I will reiterate. Essentially, the $2.5 million are the local match to a $10 million federal grant that had been secured for the project and that would allow to acquire land, a right-of-way for stations and for parking rides and things like that. And so our contribution would be limited to land right-of-way acquisition. So that's one point that I want to make. The second point is, as also Mr. McFarland indicated, the money is interest income earned on debt, transit debt service reserves that we have been accruing, and that those reserves were there for bonds that have been already retired, and therefore we can use this money for another purpose since the bonds have been retired and therefore the reserves, those particular reserves, are not needed any longer. That's essentially, in a nutshell, the two questions that I think you wanted me to address, and certainly I would be happy to try to answer any detailed questions that you might have beyond that.
But Mr. Diaz, maybe you can help me understand, why wasn't the bonding request reduced by that amount of money?
Pardon me?
Why wasn't the bonding request reduced by that amount of money?
The bonding request, which bonding, the geo bonds? Well, Madam Chair, I don't think a decision has been made as to whether or not eventually, in the long term, some other pieces of the puzzle would be reduced. But at this point, I think there was the desire to maintain the 30.7.5, but maybe Mr. McFarland can address that.
And then Mr. McFarland, I guess my point is that if this money was taken from this transit fund, we haven't seen a reduction in the request of money from the legislature, nor did I ever hear that you were going to pay that money back. So I'm wondering why we haven't accounted for that investment of regional money into that, and if we ever will.
Well, Madam Chair, I think the first issue of importance is that the $2.5 million from the Met Council is not considered state money in the equation of money for the North Star Corridor. It would be considered somewhere in that mix of the local share, because it would not be considered state dollars for North Star. So the 37.5 the governor has proposed in general obligations is the state's commitment under what the governor has proposed in terms of a federal, state, and local split. And that's
so,
why
so just to be clear, that money that was taken out of that regional pot of money that was a result of taxation across the entire transit taxing district is now going to be used to reduce the local share of that particular sub-region of the metro area.
Mr. Diaz can talk about that. I just want to mention from the administration's perspective, the Met Council money was not considered part of the state money, the state commitment. Either the 37.5 in bonding proposed in this year or the remainder of the capital commitment that the governor will propose at a future date.
Mr. Diaz,
Madam Chair, thank you. Candidly, I will tell you that the issue hasn't been really discussed in any great detail. That right now we were kind of talking about the first level of funding, which is the $37.5 million that the state would commit, as well as the commitment that the locals are going to make. Obviously, that's not going to be the entire commitment for the project, as you well know. There is going to be other commitments that are going to be made. So really, that discussion hasn't been had.
Wait a second. Okay, is the answer we don't know?
Mm-hmm. At this point, I would say that the answer is we don't know exactly how that $2.5 million will be counted in the overall $265 million budget. I think Mr. McFarland just made a statement that it will be counted towards some local participation, not towards the state participation.
And so if I'm to be correct here in reading your information, Met Council just handed over that $2.5 million with no consideration for how it was going to be accounted for, if it was going to be paid back, and what fund it was deferring costs from.
Madam Chair, nobody made any, nobody presented to us the idea that this money would be paid back. We were requested to make this contribution to make it possible to move forward with the project. The council set a policy discussion, and the council, by a large majority, decided that they thought it was a good investment that we should be making to make sure that the project would keep on schedule, as Mr. McFarland decided. And quite frankly, no representation was made that this money was going to be paid back, and that discussion hasn't been had. Whether that discussion is had at a later date, quite frankly, that's not going to be something that would be my decision. It would be something that the council and the other people involved in the project, the counties and state and so on, will have to have.
All right, thank you. Any additional questions for Mr. Diaz? Representative Anderson.
Well, in relation to this, thank you, Madam Chair. In relation to the situation with the annual operating costs, it says here annual operating costs not covered by fares or annual federal funds will be split 50-50. Is that going to be an ongoing, is that part of the bill as far as policy that once the North Star is in place that that will be the ongoing proposal that the state and the locals will split the operating costs of the line for an infinitum?
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, that is the governor's proposal, yes.
And just for clarification purposes, has there been a governor's bonding bill introduced with this language included?
There has been a North Star bill introduced, and I don't know if it has that specific language in it. I'd have to check on that, Representative.
Mr. McFarland, did the governor's office introduce a bonding bill? A comprehensive bonding bill that reflects their bonding recommendations that includes that language.
I'm told by our respective staff that yes, the governor has House File 283.
All right, thank you, Representative Hollis.
I was just going to respond the same. Representative Gorman and I introduced the governor.
And the local share operating language is included in that bill. All right, thank you, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Diaz, in regards to the operating costs, where it says 50-50. Does the 50% local include the Met Council as far as being part of that local, or is it just strictly the counties or the area that is along the corridor?
Madam Chair, we're going to understand. My understanding is that the 50% local would come from the regional railroad authorities that are involved in the project. In other words, the one that was just referred to a few minutes ago.
So,
not the Metropolitan Council.
Representative Anderson.
So, Madam Chair, Mr. Diaz, so operating costs from northeast or north, whatever, northwest Minneapolis to Big Lake, the operating costs of the line will be paid for by Met Council, 50% of that?
No. No, Madam Chair, no.
That's what I thought you said.
I'm sorry. I thought I said just the opposite, that the Metropolitan Council will not participate in that 50% at all. 50% would be paid by the state, and 50% would be paid by the regional railroad authorities, in other words, the counties that participate in the project, and those are Hanopin, Anoka, and Sherburne. But the Metropolitan Council will not participate in that 50% at all.
Right, Mr. Diaz, I'm assuming that you are contemplating using CMAQ funds again, which no CMAQ funds will ever be used in the operating of this line.
We're not the governor's proposal is that 50% of the cost will be paid by the state, the operating costs that are not raised by either federal or fares will be paid by the state, and 50% will be paid by the locals, which means the regional railroad authorities that are sponsoring the project. And those three regional railroad authorities are Hanopin County, Anoka County, and Sherbrooke County. And the Metropolitan Council doesn't have any share of that operating cost. Zero.
All right, thank you. Representative Anderson, I'm sorry.
Madam Chair, Mr. Diaz, then the Met Council will not be operating the North Star Corridor.
Mr. Diaz.
Madam Chair, there is no, currently in statute, there is no direction for the Council to operate the North Star Corridor.
And yet, Madam Chair, the North Star light rail system is being run by the Met Council.
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, not the North Star Corridor, no, the Hiawatha Avenue Corridor is operated by the
Council.
The difference, Representative Anderson, Madam Chair, is that the statute is very specific about light rail operations, and it places the responsibility for light rail operations on the Metropolitan Council, on Metro Transit. And so that's why right now the Hiawatha light rail line is being operated by Metro Transit. The same way the statute is very clear, and the responsibility for planning, engineering, construction, and operations lies with MnDOT. That doesn't mean that MnDOT will provide directly the operations. They may contract with somebody else, but we do not have a role as established by statute today in the existing statute.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm now asking specifically about transit corridor money, but you already defined very clearly the amount of federal funding and the competitive nature of those dollars. And I suppose my question is to both MnDOT and Met Council, how are we getting ready in our planning process for the next few years to maximize federal funding beyond this year so that we're already anticipating the next few years and maximizing the federal funding?
Mr. McFarland.
Madam Chair, Representative Hausman, if I could help clarify your question, are you related simply to North Star?
No.
Going on?
Madam Chair, for our state, in seeking federal funding and maximizing federal funding, and maybe it's more to Met Council, I'm not sure.
Particular question.
But the idea is, beyond this year, just given the competitive nature, are we getting ready so in the next few years we also maximize that federal
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Representative Hausman, as you well know, we have been taking advantage of federal funding for the Hiawatha Light Rail Line, and we have obtained over the last 5 years $335 million. As Mr. McFarland indicated, we expect to be able to continue taking advantage over the next couple of years, 2 to 3 years, to a great extent, of the federal funding through the North Star Corridor, which is obviously, if the legislature gives it its blessing, is ready to go, and that therefore the $132.5 million that Mr. McFarland referred to will probably take another 2 or 3 years in order to be able to raise that money in the competitive environment of the federal government New Start program. In addition to that, as you well know, we have other corridors that are at different stages of planning. One of them, of course, the Central Corridor, which you are very familiar with, which is just completing an alternatives analysis and should go through the process of selecting a preferred alternative. And as you well know, too, there is a light rail component and there is also a BRT component. In either case, that project, if it goes ahead, would require a significant amount of federal funding. I think in addition to that, as you well know, there is a Cedar Avenue corridor and there is a Northwest corridor that are also in line for implementation. And as you well know, the Northwest corridor received $20 million in capital bonding in 2002, and the money is going to be released this year. The governor has proposed $10 million for the Cedar Avenue corridor, and those projects could conceivably compete for some federal money. Although I don't think that we would be competing for New Start's money, we think that probably would be more efficient to try to compete for New Start money on the rail corridors as opposed to the BRT corridors. And finally, of course, there is the 35W corridor. We had a presentation on the BRT corridor a few days ago, and I also testify there, we see that there is a potential to try to obtain some federal money for the BRT project, even though, again, as I indicated that day, it may not be a New Start program. It might be something other, but still federal funding. So I think we are pretty well prepared to make it the best possible use of federal funding. Of course, all these will have to come together with also the appropriate funding, either from bonding or, you know, according to the governor's proposal for the investment package from 08 and beyond. If those things come together, then we are going to have a much better chance to be able to take advantage of that federal funding. If we don't get the money for North Star and we don't get any long-term funding investment as the governor has proposed, then those things will be more problematic.
Thank you. Members, we've got to move on here, but Representative Anderson, you have another question?
Thank you. Madam Chair, Mr. Diaz, with the light rail system that's in place right now, the monies that go into the light rail system comes from the Met Council, along with Hennepin County. Am I right in saying that?
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, you are correct. The arrangement is very similar to the one that Mr. McFarland referred to for the operations of the North Star Corridor. The difference here being that 50% of the funds are coming from Hennepin County, which is the only county in which the light rail line is. And so the arrangement is 50% state, and when we present the governor's budget, which I believe, Madam Chair, we will do
in about 3 minutes.
Near future, you'll see that the governor is proposing certain amount of money for light rail operations in 06 and 07, but also the governor's bill contains language talking about the continuation of the Hennepin County participation to 50% level, matching equally the money that the state is putting there. So 50% would be state money coming to the Metropolitan Council, 50% will be Hennepin County Regional Rail Authority money, which eventually also will come to us for the operations.
Ms. Madam Chair, one more question.
Representative Anderson, thank you.
Mr. Diaz, does the Santa Fe County ever come to you to ask for transportation or transit funding help?
Madam Chair,
Mr. Diaz,
Anderson, actually they do. They do every time we distribute federal funding. Hennepin County is one of our good friends who come to us for money the same way that Dakota County and Anoka County and other counties come to us too for money. So yes, they do. It's a two-way street.
And Representative Anderson, I'm sure we could arrange for Wright County to have that pleasure as well, if you'd like.
And I'm sure I also want to remind you that we also give money to Lakeville to the tune of $7.9 million for interchanges on 35W. So we try to distribute the money around the metro area as well as we can.
We appreciate that, Mr. Diaz. Any additional questions? Thank you very much, gentlemen. We're going to now move on to the next portion of our budget, presentation, which is an introduction to the MnDOT operating budget, but we'll be working from the blue folders, and we'll spend about 35 minutes on this portion of the meeting, and certainly MnDOT will be back a number of days going through this budget, and we'll see how far we get today. Mr. Differt. So, if you'd like to step to the podium and state your name for the record, that would be great.
Good afternoon. My name is Mark Trost, and if you're wondering what I'm supposed to be doing, I'm the 4th District Military Liaison for the American Legion. I sit on the Military Relations Foreign Affairs Committee, and I also found out this morning I'm on the Rehabilitation Committee. I'm also a life member of the VFW. We're going to be activating PUFDEV 1 here pretty soon. And I'm the first vice commander of AMVET Post 24. What my purpose here today is, and I'm here by chance, so I apologize for my attire and demeanor also because I'm giving up cigarettes today and I'm a little bit grouchy. And what I'd like to ask is if we could get an overview of these things, because we have the UVLC meets out at Building 9 at the VA on the first Wednesday of the month. And they've been pretty preoccupied with a lot of the rah-rah sis-coom-bah that's going on with picking a VA commissioner.
Sure.
So a lot of these important things were missing. And what the reason for this is this, as I've seen, ties in really well with the World War II Memorial Project, which I'm working with. Because
so
we have some trains.
We're talking about transportation. So are you looking for an overview of the
right.
North Star information?
Right.
Let's see. There are lots of lobbyists in this room that have all kinds of information.
One question. That was just a spiel because you asked me the question. The big question I had was, there's some trains that are train engines and some cars that are in various stages of restoration throughout the state, and some of them are of World War II era, so they wouldn't fall under the jurisdiction of the 48th, the Honor Society of the American Legion. I remember that, 2.39. But that would be perfect for the World War II Memorial because young kids like that kind of stuff.
Sir?
It all works together.
I'd be happy to meet with you in my office with appointment, and Mr. Clark, who's standing right here in the aisle, has all kinds of information on the North Star Project. He'd be able to help you as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, and good luck with your quitting smoking. Mr. Differt. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I'm here today just to kind of introduce MnDOT, maybe myself, and give you an overview of what's going on over at MnDOT. And I have two people with me today, Andy Halverson and Kevin Gray, to go through some slides for you. Just a kind of a quick couple of comments. I'm Doug Differt, and I'm the deputy for the Lieutenant Governor, and I'm also the Chief Engineer for the Department of Transportation. I have 30 years of service with DOT, and then I spent the last 10 years with a private consultant firm, and I came back with this administration to work with the Lieutenant Governor. Very much enjoying my life with the Lieutenant Governor. To start off with, we have an organizational chart, which you'll see up there on the screen.
Mr. Ness will be passing out our large copy for
okay,
the committee members momentarily.
I'm sure I'll wait a minute until they get there. Okay. You'll see the organizational chart. Well, I do report to Carol. Molinaro, the lieutenant governor, and also the commissioner. It's unique in the United States to have a lieutenant governor running a DOT, and it works very, very well. And my job is underneath her as the deputy and chief engineer. The audit reports to me, and six divisions. We finally call it the six-pack, and that works very good, and I think we have one of the tightest, well-organized agencies in state government. If you start on the left side, we start on the left side with administration, and there we have Kevin Gray, which you saw, which is finance and all our administration and our personnel. The second one you'll hear from today is Randy Halverson, and we call it program management, and all the modes are in there, water, air, the highways, and all the funding goes in there in terms of the federal funds and program development. The third one's engineering, and also all our technical engineering stuff is, and you'll see a chart on that of all the pieces, about 12 offices in there. After our regular air traffic engineering, our surveying, our bridges, and all those kind of designs are in there. The operations, safety, and technology is all of what you'll probably see around town, our ramp metering, our traffic operations centers, our TOCCs, traffic operation communication centers out in state. And also our traffic engineering is in there, but also our maintenance standards and all of our IT people are in that group. It's quite a large group. State aid for local transportation is Julie Skalman. Julie Skalman has 87 counties and 120 cities over 5,000, and that's where we support those folks from. And then the operations, the district operations division is Bob Winter, and that's where our eight divisions are going to, that's where our eight divisions report. And that's where we have all our field people in there. So with that, we claim, and we think we're right. This organization provides agency accountability, and also provides program delivery, whether it's in the aeronautics area, the highway area, or in the maintenance area. Partnerships we like, we've got a lot of partnerships going, and to deliver projects, our organization has been reduced over the years, and our productivity has increased. We had last year over $1.3 billion in construction programs going with an organization that's smaller now than it was 5 years ago. And so how do we do it? We do it with using cities and counties to help us. We have 59 projects, what we call DCP, designated contract process, what the counties and cities are doing for us. Works very well. They're doing some major large design build projects, which works very well. The time is going well. If you get an opportunity, we can check the Rochester job, the 494 job, and we're going to let 212 in March. That's going to be very good. Some of the innovative technology we're doing, one of the fun things for some of us to work out in the field and handle dirt work and deal with regulators and the big dozers and stuff like that. We are doing work now with GPS onto our dozers. We have one project that had 26 settling basins alongside the project. So we instrumented one grader with GPS, so it has pickup units on the end of the blades and a screen on it. And we did that without putting any stakes in the ground through GPS. And so when we got done with those two, we did 26 of them on the project with that technology. For the contractors, all our projects, bids over $5 million are coming in on e-commerce now, so they're emailed in. They don't have to come down there. They can work all night on their bids and send it in by email, and it's working very well. The security seems to be working very well. So all of our bids now over $5 million are on email, so that's working good. One of the issues we have, of course, is federal funding. We're a year and a half behind, and we're not as optimistic as we were at first. We keep looking for it, but we need it badly. And because of that, we are having some funding issues, of course. To move on with our program here, we've got about six items we wanted to cover, and Randy's going to start and, you know, follow through with the modes and systems. And thank you, Madam Chair and members. Pleased to be here.
Thank you. Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just have an organizational chart question. Because I'm also on capital investment, I frequently have members come to me who ask questions about specific highway projects. And I have tended to say that they ought to be sitting down with their district manager under that last column. Is that correct? Is that for a member with a specific highway project, is that their entree into the department?
Mr. Difford.
Madam Chair, Representative Hausman, absolutely. The plans we have in our steps and our depths, and you've heard all these words, they're all out there. The status of the project, if she goes, if he goes to the district engineer, you'll get the best answer and exactly where it is. They do track these jobs with all the elements. We have a project management system that'll track them. Just for your information, we let some 200 projects a year now, and we probably got 1,000 of them in our system somewhere, and so we can track all those. But the best source is go right to your district engineer. Absolutely.
Thank you.
And then sort of a follow-up to that. As we are occasionally needing to do, that we delay or move down the projects, what would be the process that the department would use to determine how we move that construction project or that construction schedule down? Is it done just the whole group goes down, or do you make some independent decisions about highway projects?
That's kind of different.
I'm sure. Representative Hausman, Randy Halverson is going to come up here in a couple of minutes, and we will go through our criteria that we use, and the funding is a part of it, the readiness, whether we've got environmental accordance on the things. All of these factors go into it, and there's quite a list of factors, and we can discuss that very briefly, or we can certainly meet with you or whoever would like and go into more detail.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Magnus.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question, Mr. Difford. Where's rail in here? Is that under freight and commercial?
Mr. Difford.
Yeah. Madam Chair, Representative, under the Randall Halverson, second from the left, if you got a complete, okay, I think you do, freight and commercial vehicle operations, that's what rail is. We can talk about that a bit. Absolutely. Is freight rail in there? Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Mr. Halverson. And Mr. Gray.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Randy Halverson. As Mr. Difford has explained, I'm the MnDOT Director of the Program Management Division. Mr. Gray and I will collaborate this afternoon on a brief overview of MnDOT, which will set the stage for the more specific discussions we will have beginning on Thursday about budget items. Starting with this first slide, MnDOT has a responsibility for several types of transportation, referred to as modes. As we go through the budget presentation, it will be clear that our responsibility varies by each mode. We'll be talking about highways, particularly the trunk highway system, and the local state aid system for which we're responsible, water and rail freight, which are commercial movements on our waterway system and on the Great Lakes, transit throughout the state, particularly in greater Minnesota, our responsibilities in aviation and the 142 airports in the state owned by municipalities, and we'll also be discussing bicycle and pedestrian movements. We monitor several trends in our planning process that impact transportation, and I simply wanted to highlight three of the most important ones. The top line on this chart represents vehicle miles traveled, the second one employment in the state, and the bottom line is population. And if you look over on the left-hand side, you will see the actual growth on these three factors from the time 1980 to 2003. Vehicle miles traveled in this state increased by 94%, employment by 50%, and our population by 25%. And while this sort of growth is a sign of a healthy, vital state, it also is a sign that our transportation system is increasingly becoming under stress. In many cases, the state system bears the heaviest burden. For example, this slide shows the mile share and the vehicle miles travel share in 2000 for all the jurisdictions in the state. I'll concentrate on the top three. The state trunk highway system constitutes 9% of the total highway miles in this state. If you look at the bottom, the total miles are 132,000, so 9% is about 11,800. Now, if you move over to the other column that says percent share of daily VMT, vehicle miles traveled, that 9% of the system carries 61% of the miles. 61% represents 152 million miles a day, or 55.5 billion miles a year. The
county state aid system, moving down the chart, 23% share of the miles, 22% share of the DMT and the municipal state aid street system, 2% and 8%. So those are the three areas and highways that we'll be talking about as we move through our budget process. So 91% of the vehicle miles traveled we will be addressing as we move through our budget. This schematic provides the framework for MnDOT's planning and programming process, which leads to our investment decisions, and I referred to this in testimony on January 19th at the policy committee. It starts on the left at the very highest level with our strategic plan, and then moves across with our state transportation plan. And on Friday, I sent each member of the policy committee a letter and had two documents attached. Just for your information, the executive summary of the state plan is a 20-page document, a very easy read, and the strategic plan is a trifold document you can read in 10 minutes. I also, in that letter, said that we would be available for one-on-one meetings with any member of this committee that wants to get into our planning process in much more detail than we ever have opportunity in front of these committees.
And Mr. Halverson, if I might, Representative Abrams, Magnus, and Hausman are not on policy, and so if you might want to just add them to your distribution list and
we certainly will
forward those same materials to them that was sent out last Friday, and I'd appreciate receiving that information as well. Thank you. You'll continue.
Yep. So as we move across, you see the blue box that's stacked in the middle. If you go way down to the bottom, it says modal plans, freight, transit, rail, waterways, bike, and PEDS. That constitutes the first portion of our budget that we'll be talking about, and Kevin will be more specific about that. So as we move across this scheme, we start getting much more specific, and much more specific means it ends with a project. So as you go to the column, the green column, from this planning process it emerges two documents, a 10-year work plan and a 3-year STIP, State Transportation Improvement Program. And that the latter program is actually the list of projects that are funded and move forward in the construction process. And that business is managed by the districts, and also in our budget presentation, Mr. Winter, who is head of that division, will be much more specific about how these projects work and how they move through this process and who makes the sort of decisions, Representative Hausman, that you were interested in. This is just a quick reminder, the framework that I described also on the 19th is in the state plan. That we have three strategic directions that have been constant since 1997. Safeguard what exists, make the transportation network operate better. Those are the two directions for the system for which we are responsible. And then the third one, make MnDOT work better, is an effort that's designed specifically towards our own operations, and we'll talk more about that as we move through this. There are a set of policies that are aligned in the discussion that you will hear. We'll reference back to this framework. A final note from me is that each of these policies have a set of outcomes that you'll be hearing about, performance measures that are used, performance targets set. The state plan has guidance on how to use these policies and has an example of strategies for their implementation. And as the budget presentations are made, we'll make reference to these key measures within the context of the books that you have. So, Madam Chair, that I'm done with my portion. I'll turn it over to Mr. Gray unless you have questions on the first half here.
Thank you. Members, are there any questions of Mr. Halverson? Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I saw your name as a consultant in something. Are you actually an employee of MnDOT, or are you a consultant to them?
Madam Chair, Representative Earhart, I started working for MnDOT in 1978. I worked for the state since 1973. I'm a full-time paid state employee. Huh. I've been a senior manager in MnDOT since 1994.
Thank you.
Representative Hausman, did you have a question?
Yes, I don't have a page number, Madam Chair, but it's the one that's titled Minnesota Roadways Mile Share and Vehicle Miles of Travel. Help me understand, two lines on here where they're perhaps not very helpful, because I would assume it would be vastly different if they were metro counties and cities as opposed to greater Minnesota counties and cities, and those would be the county roads and city streets, which seem to have a particular percent share of miles and very much less daily vehicle miles traveled. Wouldn't that be...
These lines include all counties, all townships, all streets, greater Minnesota and metro included? Would you like them broken out by...
I just thought we might draw some misperceptions if we thought that was true of all counties, but I would think both of those lines would be significantly different in the seven county metro area, wouldn't you think?
Mr. Hoverson?
Yes. Madam Chair, Representative Housen, we could certainly provide that sort of information. This is a roll-up of the aggregate, and if you looked at it county by county, you'd get a bit of a different picture, I'm sure.
And my only reason for mentioning it, Madam Chair, is I recall Representative Haas and others who tried to help us understand how significantly different in the seven-county metro area some of those local roads have become now, that they are not what they were perceived of or designed for. It just, if people are new to the committee, it might be helpful for them not to draw any conclusions about universal statistics on county roads and city streets.
And Representative Abrams is the only one new to the committee, and I don't think he'd draw that kind of conclusion, having driven around county and city roads in the metro area for many years. So I think we're safe. Mr. Gray.
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. As part of the department overview, we also thought we'd talk about some organizational matters. I won't dwell on them because Deputy Commissioner Difford did address this, but the Lieutenant Governor's focus since coming on board has been on accountability, clarity, and streamlining the organization. And here, I should probably get the presentation up to... And part of that has been from a financial or organizational financial sense, and part from a people organization sense. Focusing on the former, we've identified, instead of our atypical budget approach, we've got core functions and activities that are grouped into product lines. Mr. Helverson mentioned multimodal systems, which includes our transit, air, railroads, and freight and waterways. And that is one piece of our budget component, if you will. The biggest piece, of course, being state roads, and that's, if you will, primarily the trunk highway fund. And we'll talk a little bit about the different funds and funding sources in a minute as well. But within state roads, the full gamut of planning and design to construction to operations and maintenance is part of that product line or that program, if you will. Of course, a very significant piece is our local roads, which is our CASA and the SAS systems of the county and municipal roads. And then finally, probably the smallest piece of the budget is indeed our general support, things that didn't logically fall into the other areas around administrative functions and buildings and the like that serve all the other product lines. You'll see a complete copy of the organization chart here. And I would just add that we included it and handed it out separately so you can read it a little bit better, but included it here just a reminder that these are resources to you, and if there are certain functional or location-specific questions you might have, these are the people that can be contacted, and I thought it might be a useful reference for you. Also, with respect to organizational issues, MnDOT districts are divided into seven or eight regional areas, seven of which are in the greater Minnesota districts, and then, of course, the metro district. This gives you a geographical profile, roughly, of how the districts are organized from a boundary sense. Again, as part of just a quick, a very high-profile overview of MnDOT, I believe Randy referenced there approximately 132,000 miles of streets and highways. Approximately 12,000 of those, or the 9% from the other slide, are state trunk highways. There are in excess of 20,000 bridges statewide, and I think this is bridges over 10 feet. I know that there's sometimes a technical difference between what's a culvert and what's a bridge, and I won't profess to have the answer to that. But that having been said, I think approximately 4,500 of these bridges, maybe a bit more, are if you will, state highway on the state trunk highway system. 65 Greater Minnesota counties have public transit out of the 80. There are 5 public ports, including Minneapolis, St. Paul, Red Wing, Winona, and, of course, Duluth. There are 200-plus miles of navigable rivers. The short line railroads, if you will, there are 4,500 miles of tracks. And we have 136 public airports. I think Randy mentioned 142, and that's technically correct. There's 142 airports that are utilized. 6 of them are privately owned, but are accessible to the public. So 136 are truly the ones that we would provide funding towards, if you will, in a public sense through the State Airports Fund. With respect to funds, I'm going to ask you not to look at the dollar so much at present, but I wanted to give you a sense of the funds that actually flow into MnDOT and that come under the guise of either the Trunk Highway Fund or other related funds and areas. So we have a separate fund for the Trunk Highway Fund, and this is maybe more accounting detail than you want, but being the CFO, it's just, you know, I got to have a little bit of that in here. But the Trunk Highway Fund is our biggest fund. Local roads, both the Sound and the SAS, have dedicated funding that is directed to them. We do receive general fund monies, and there's a question oftentimes about how much money is going towards general fund activities. And here the amount is kind of significant in the sense that of that $15.2 million, I think about $15 million of it is for Greater Minnesota Transit. And so there's a smidgen of general funds that go towards hazardous waste removal off of the trunk highway system, that sort of thing. But it's really in the tens of thousands, so not a big number. Also supporting Greater Minnesota Transit is the Transit Greater Minnesota Transit Fund, which is part of the MVEST monies. We have special revenue funds and other department earnings and other accounts that make up that fund. In this case, the biggest piece of that dollar volume is just the pass-through for, if you will, our payment for constructing LRT. So it's an atypical number in the sense that it's fairly large for this particular year, but in other years it wouldn't be that big. Federal funds, and this is federal funds other than federal highway funds. Federal highway funds are accounted for in the Trunk Highway Fund. So part of that $1 billion on the top line includes a component of federal funds. However, we do serve as a grant pass-through organization for airports, transit, waterways, and other off-highway activities. So federal transit and other federal airport monies, aviation monies, would be part of this $229 million that essentially goes out as grants. And then finally, a unique fund is our State Airports Fund. Like the Trunk Highway Fund, it is a dedicated fund, though it is entirely statutorily dedicated. Again, as part of the overview, I thought the committee would be interested in seeing in a broad sense our revenue sources. I believe some of this has been discussed by staff with you previously, but this would be just recap, a quick recap based on our FY 2004. As you can see, motor fuel taxes are a significant portion, 33%. TAB fees, or motor vehicle license taxes, if you will, are approximately 25%. And then motor vehicle sales taxes make up $103 million of the amount. So those are our three primary revenue sources. Again, just to talk about department earnings, because that is a big number. That includes local advances to us to fund and deliver projects ahead of their schedule. They are ultimately repaid to the locals at a future date when the project is scheduled to be programmed. But this helps with local input to deliver more projects earlier. Additionally, driver's license fees flow through the Trunk Highway Fund account, and that's approximately $25 or $26 million of that total. Of course, 95% of that money goes back to DPS, or more specifically, I should say, vehicle services for that. So we're both a revenue and an expenditure out, so it's grossed up a little bit. Investment income.
Excuse me, Representative Abrams.
Madam Chair, Mr. Great, being a new member in the committee, this is probably a really stupid question, but I feel compelled to ask it. Why on this sheet does the total revenue sources appear to be $1.154 billion, but on the fund summary page before, it has Trunk Highway Fund at $1.022 billion? Is the $132 million basically passed through that never touches the Trunk Highway Fund? Why the discrepancy between these numbers? And I know it's a really dumb question.
Representative Abrams, there's no dumb question.
Madam Chair, I hope not, because I asked the same question. So the quick answer is it's twofold. But the primary reason is that on this page with the $1.1 billion that we're currently looking at, those are revenue sources into the Trunk Highway Fund and the Trunk Highway Fund alone. On the previous page, and I think those totals, if you add them up, are in the range of $1.9 billion. Mm-hmm. Well, that includes the county and municipal funds, which is approximately $550 million additional that's not in the Trunk Highway Fund. It also includes our general fund appropriations, state airports funds, and all the federal funds that go to transit, airports, and local road projects that we serve as the pass-through. So this is essentially what was spent or encumbered in 2004 across all of our funding lines, whereas the next page is a focus on the Trunk Highway Fund, which is where the bulk of the discussion typically in this committee is focused.
Okay, thank you.
So, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Gray, the State Airports Fund, isn't that fund depleted of $15 million?
Mr. Gray.
Madam Chair, Representative, in 2003, as part of the budget balancing effort for the general fund, $15 million was effectively, if you will, loaned to the general fund to address the budget reduction needs at that point in time. I believe the legislation states that that money's come back in fiscal 08 to the State Airports Fund, i.e. July 1 of 2007. There's supposed to be a transfer back by statute, I believe, of that $15 million.
Well, Madam
Chair, Anderson.
Mr. Gray, they said the sales tax was going to go away, too.
I don't believe there was a question. I will let you off the hook, Mr. Gray. If you'll continue, please.
Thank you. So that's a quick overview of the Trunk Highway Fund. And lastly, because of the fact that there are dedicated revenue sources to the State Airports Fund, I thought it would be interesting just to give you a quick sense of where are the primary revenue sources for state airports. And that includes the flight line property tax, private aircraft registration taxes, and aviation fuel taxes net of any refunds, as well as some loan repayments from our hangar loan program and other sources. So the annual revenues for the state airports are $18 million. But that is there's dedicated funding directed to that fund, and that's why I highlighted it in this presentation. At this point, Madam Chair, I'm certainly open for questions, but I would also comment that working on a schedule with staff, that it looks as if on Thursday we were planning to present our multimodal system program areas along with general support and use that to time to cover those core functions or product lines. And that next week, I believe a week from today, that we would be talking about our state road programs, both the investment planning and construction side, as well as the operations and maintenance side. In conjunction with that, we would also be talking to any change requests that the governor has proposed. And I thought that that would be, if that's okay with the committee, we'd approach it that way.
Right, and then for today, additional information for you to present today, would this conclude what you have for us? Today.
Yes, this would conclude what we have to present today.
All right, let's see if there's any additional questions. Representative Magnus.
Madam Chair, Mr. Gray, could you tell me what the, how much is the aviation fuel tax? Is that so much a gallon? Is it a percent or what is that? You know?
Looks like we're going to phone a friend.
We'll get back to you.
Mr. Williams might be able to help us with this.
Mr. Chairman, the aviation fuel tax is on a sliding scale, starting at 5 cents a gallon and going down to 0.5 cents a gallon, depending on usage.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. Any additional questions? Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Gray, in the transit, you have Mrs. Donna Allen as the lady in charge of the transit area. Is that broken out further into bus transportation and rail transportation?
Mr. Gray.
Madam Chair, Representative Donna will in fact be testifying to that, but the major focus of that area is on Greater Minnesota Transit. But they do also monitor bike, ped, and alternate transit modes, and also, to the extent we're charged by statute, are involved with commuter rail planning and other rail activities as per statute. But it's a very limited piece. And I believe Ms. Allen is here too. That she was here earlier, but she'll be talking to that point. I'll make sure that she's aware of it to address it as part of her presentation on Thursday.
Thank you.
Any additional questions for the gentleman from MnDOT? All right, thank you very much for your presentation. We'll look forward to hearing more information from you on Thursday. Members, as I mentioned earlier in the meeting, on Thursday we'll be making our bonding recommendations to the Capital Investment Committee. We will, up until now, consider all projects that were included either in the governor's recommendation, the House bill last year, the Senate bill this that was presented, I believe, a week and a half ago. If there are any additional projects that you would like the committee to consider on Thursday, you need to get those to the committee administrator, Ms. Gervin, by noon tomorrow. In discussions that I've had with Representative Leader, we are going to refrain from doing special projects out of Trunk Highway 610, my 610 project, or my. So I really appreciate Representative's Leader's perspective on that, and have the support of the Speaker as well. So I would not be happy to see a whole stack of Fund My Bridge or Fund My Driveway projects dropped off at Ms. Gervin's door. But those projects that do have regional or state significance, I don't have any direction relative to the Trunk Highway bonding in this particular bill yet, so I'm operating under the assumption that we will not have Trunk Highway bonding in the bill, but if that changes, we'll email you right away if we find that out by noon tomorrow. And any questions? Representative Magnus.
Madam Chair, just a point in the last page of the presentation, I think it should be in thousands. I don't think we've got $18 billion in the airports fund, but I...
And if they do have $18 billion, they better not tell anybody. anyway, any questions on the bonding process? Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I heard you outlaw driveways, but I have some potholes in front of my house I'd like to get cleaned up. Is that a legitimate request?
Well, Representative Earhart, if you'd like to submit such a request, we could see how they'd fare in this committee, but I don't know that I'd bet on it, making a positive recommendation. Members of the audience, if you'll take your cups, cans, bottles, papers with you before you leave, we would appreciate that, especially Mr. Ness would appreciate that. Representative Abrams, did you have a
question?
Well,
Madam Chair, Representative Earhart, your potholes did pass in 1996, I believe, and went to conference committee. Did you go to the conference committee in 1996 to make sure that the House position was upheld?
Representative Earhart.
I did. But I got, Madam Chair and Representative Abrams, I think... Representative Carruthers was either majority or speaker. He made such adverse comments to the press about my request for filling the potholes that I was just chagrined. I didn't know what to do.
On that note, we're adjourned until Thursday. Thank